Hello, people from Blind Cool Tech. This is Clement Chow, back from a long break. I've been having computer problems and all the usual wonderful things that happen in life. High school, whatever. And I'm currently on a backup computer, my laptop. Not my favorite computer, but I have to use it, so. What you are hearing right now is a Spanish flamenco piece called Bamboleo. And this helps to summarize the topic that we are going over today. If you remember, I started this thing called Multi-Language Time way back in 07, 08. I never really got a chance to continue with it, so I'll pick it up today. And today we're going to be covering French and Spanish, since I figured I'd be smart today and only cover stuff that I actually know. Let's get Jaws back.
One gypsy can tell no winner.
I am going to be talking like probably the same format as I did last time. Talk about grammar, things that they have in common, things that are different, stuff like that. For those who do speak either of the languages, if you have comments, good or bad, please email them to me. I'll give my email address at the end of this podcast, because I'd welcome any comments right now. Because I'm striving to improve my French and my Spanish. Both of which are okay, but, you know, could be better, so. And I'm pretty sure there are some Spanish-speaking people here. So, hopefully, I get to know some of you and practice. Practice speaking it, or even just writing it.
Sound effect manager.
That would help too.
Sounds and audio devices.
First of all, let's turn my sounds off for Windows, so that way, as my computer
sounds
and audio things, it's not going to distract us.
O323 page. Sound. Andre, who is 103? Windows default.
Let's go to Windows default.
Windows default 203. Control panel folder.
So.
One.
Let's get started. And first of all, I'm going to turn this music off. Actually, why don't I just let the songs finish?
One.
Okay. So that's done. Get this show on the road.
Gold wave.
I will discuss Spanish first, as it is the one I know best out of the two. Spanish is probably my favorite language right now. And I figure, since I didn't give background on why I'm doing these things like I did last time, or when I did the podcast last time, I'll cover that now. For all those who are curious, I grew up with languages. I was born here, but my mom was from Brunei, which is a little country in Southeast Asia, and my dad's from Taiwan. So I had to settle for learning two different types of Mandarin, as well as Cantonese, Taiwanese, and Hakka, because my parents spoke all of those. Hakka was for my mom, Taiwanese for my dad, and Cantonese was shared between the both of them. So that's mainly why. And then I had to learn English as my second language. So I guess it stuck. I got it, I started learning them, and I just kind of thought, this is actually kind of cool, let's learn more. And then, so now I'm where I am, and I love languages, love learning them, and have grown to be quite passionate about them. So we'll start with the more, I don't know what the word is, but my favorite of the two. I don't want to say easier, because they both have their easy parts and their hard parts. Probably from a standpoint of pronunciation and grammar, with in terms of rules and exceptions, I'd probably say Spanish is easier, because French has a lot of exceptions to all the rules they have. And Spanish, although even though we have exceptions in Spanish, they tend to follow a certain rule or pattern, and we'll try and run through those today. So, Spanish. First of all, I have to say that the one thing I hate about Spanish classes, or any kind of Spanish learning curriculum, sorry, I'm just putting my CD drive back where it's supposed to be. The one thing I don't like about Spanish curriculum, Spanish courses, is often, more times than not, they do not take time to explain different accents and dialects. And while I understand the fact that this might make it a bit more confusing for some people, I personally think that it's a lot better if you take time to explain that some places they talk like this, other places they talk like this, we use this word here, but this country uses this word as a substitute, that kind of thing. I think it's important so that if somebody does get immersed into a Spanish situation, or a Spanish-speaking situation, they will have some knowledge of what they're dealing with. I learned my stuff mostly by theoretical research, Wikipedia, a lot of practical practice, lots and lots of practice, and that's where I got today. So, let's talk a bit about the actual dialects. Spanish has many variations. There's the two main different types. There's Spain versus Latin America. That's what the big ones are. But within Spain, you have Spanish, Spanish from North and Southern Spain. They differ in ways. And then each Latin American country pretty much has their own accent, and some countries have different accents depending on which region you're in. So it gets rather confusing at times. And not that it's anything big to worry about, because if you can learn standard Spanish, you should be able to pick things up rather quickly from there. Accent differences and whatnot just kind of take a minute. It's kind of like different dialects of English. You can understand them, but there are some words that are going to make you look and go, what? So, let's talk Spain and Latin America. The big thing that people notice, okay, two big things. One is the way that Z's are pronounced and the way C is pronounced when it's preceded, or when it's, no, when it's followed by an E or I. In Latin America, in standard Spanish, we don't differentiate between whether the C is followed by an E or an I, or there's a Z. It's all pronounced like an S. So, let's take the word for the verb to know in Spanish can be either conocer or saber, but we're going to use conocer as an example here because it has to deal with what I'm talking about. Z is always pronounced like a TH. If you're talking standard Castellano Spanish, Spain Spanish, which is what most people think when they think Spain and Spanish. Therefore, if you were to say yo conozco, it's spelled C-O-N-O-Z-C-O, yo conozco. However, putting in the TH phenomenon, it would come out sounding like yo conozco. Conoces versus conoces, conozco versus conozco. So it depends on where you're coming from, what you're putting it in, but that pretty much illustrates the point that Z is pronounced like a TH, and C, if it's followed by E or an I, is pronounced also like a TH. Another example would be 11 o'clock, las onces, 5, cinco. For more, if you want to listen to more of the Castilian Spanish from Spain, you can listen to Christy Gilson's Spain Trip podcast, which was a very nice podcast. I enjoyed it very much. It was amazing to hear about the experiences from Spain, but anyhow, the second distinguishing feature is the use of the pronoun vosotros. Vosotros is the Spanish equivalent to you all, you guys, or the second person if you're speaking to a group. In Latin America, we don't tend to use vosotros, we use ustedes, which is the more formal form. In Spanish, there is a distinction for formal plural and informal plural second person. But in Latin America, we simply say ustedes. I think people would know what you would mean if you said vosotros. So I have never used ustedes personally as a rule. Now we get into different accents. There are a lot of things that are different about Spanish dialects and varieties, but the biggest one is probably the way S is pronounced. Usually, if the S is followed by a consonant, or if the S is at the end of a vowel, you will still say the S. So, estás, estoy, that being you are, I am, respectively. And as an example, how are you is ¿cómo estás? Hola, ¿cómo estás? Hello, how are you? That would be standard Spanish. Most of Spain, most of Mexico, Colombia, Peru, Bolivia, and probably that, probably just that. I apologize for that, I had to take a phone call, but getting back to where I was, the S, hola, ¿cómo estás? Hello, how are you? That is pretty much how you would say it in standard Spanish. However, the majority of Latin America, especially some parts of Spain, but very, very big in Latin America, is anytime an S is followed by a consonant or is at the end of a word, it's pronounced more like an H. But it's pronounced so quickly, you often don't hear the S. As a result, ¿cómo estás? A lot of the times comes out sounding more like hola, ¿cómo está? It's still there. The S is still there in written Spanish. But when we speak it, we say it so quickly, it really doesn't come out that often. So, hola, ¿cómo estás? Ah, muy bien, gracias, ¿y tú? I just said, hello, how are you? Oh, fine, thank you. And you? That is basically what a typical Spanish sentence would sound like. Or exchange, rather. Now we get into grammar. Since we're done most of the accent things I want to talk about, there is one small one that I'll come back to later, but I'll save that. Spanish grammar isn't that complicated. There's three types of verbs. Anybody who speaks French, does Italian, even Portuguese will know this type of system. It's the same thing, I believe, in Italian anyway. I haven't actually checked that one. It's the order, the syntax for Spanish in a sentence is subject, verb, object. So, you have the subject followed by the verb, conjugation, conjugated appropriately, and then the object. Now, the thing about Spanish verbs is they are quite easy to conjugate, especially ER and IR verbs, because the conjugations are almost, I said almost, the exact same across the board. All three types of verbs have one identical conjugation, and that is the conjugation for the first person singular, which is yo. Yo is conjugated by dropping the infinitive, or the stem, by dropping the ending of the verb, that being AR, ER, or IR, depending on the verb, and putting an O onto the stem. So, and the stem is everything but the last two letters, which means a verb like hablar, the stem would be HABL. Because AR is the ending, and you would take that off before you conjugated it. So, the YO conjugation of HABLAR would be HABLO. HABLO ESPAÑOL, I speak Spanish. YO HABLO ESPAÑOL, I speak Spanish. Now, this is the weird thing about verbs, is although you are saying the conjugated verb in that particular way, you no longer have to actually say yo. I speak Spanish and can be said in two ways in Spanish. You can say yo hablo español, which is I speak Spanish, or you could simply say hablo español, which is the same thing without yo. And that is simply because we know the context that you're using the verb in most of the time, and we will use it. Or we will take it as such. Occasionally, we will still use, we do still use the pronouns. However, usually, more often than not, we simply say the verb as it's conjugated. And that's the one example I'll give of Spanish verbs. because the rest is pretty much straightforward. I will say all the conjugations here, and I'll try and go through them slowly. For the second person singular is tú, you would use AS for AR verbs and ES for both IR and ER verbs. And so now keep in mind, like I said, the conjugations for IR verbs and ER verbs are all the same except for two cases. So, now we've done tú, let's move on to the next one. Él, ella, usted, or it. It doesn't have a form. If you simply say something like, es delicioso. We don't know what you're talking about, but let's say if you're eating a burrito, as an example. You're having a burrito, and you're wanting to say how good it is. And you just say, ooh, and we would know that you were talking about the burrito, and you were saying, oh, it's really delicious. That would be conjugated by taking off the ending and putting an A on the end, if it's an AR verb, such as hablar, which is habla. Or, if it's an ER or IR verb, you would put E on the end. Nosotros is the next form, because él, ella, usted, and it all use the same form, as does quién, qué, that kind of thing. But that's different. Well, it's not different, but it's irrelevant in this case, because we're only talking about proper nouns here. Pronouns, that is. So, nosotros, first person plural, this is we. You say, we do this, we do that. We say, nosotros. This is the one conjugation where the IR and ER verbs differ. But it's very straightforward because they follow the right pattern. AR is amos, so hablamos. And IR and ER verbs are imos and hemos, respectively. I-M-O-S, E-M-O-S. So if it's an ER verb, E-M-O-S. If it's an IR verb, I-M-O-S. It's quite simple, very straightforward, and very easy to remember. Vosotros we will not go through, but that is the second conjugation where things are different. I'm not going to go through that, though, like I said, because in Latin America, we don't use vosotros very much. And if you use ustedes in Spain, they will know what you're talking about. It would probably be better, since you don't know, or since you might not know people in Spain that well. Ellos, ellas are the three plural third-person forms. Ellos being feminine or no, masculine plural, and ellas would be feminine plural third person, and the conjugations are an, en, and en. So now that we've talked about this, or now that we've brought up this masculine feminine thing, let's talk about that. Spanish and French both have this. So does Portuguese, and I believe Italian does as well. In French, it's le, la, les. Le is for masculine objects, la is for feminine objects, and les is for plural objects. In Spanish, we have the same thing. We have el, la, los, las. Same concept. El is masculine singular. La is feminine singular. Los is plural for masculine. Las is feminine plural. Now that we've done the basics of Spanish, French, I'm not going to go through verb conjugation things because it's the same kind of scenario. This is just to tell, like I said, this podcast is to talk about differences in Spanish and French, not a lesson for both languages, because I don't know them well enough to teach them. Not as well as I'd like, anyway. French is... Actually, before I go on to French, let's wrap this up with some Spanish pronunciation. Spanish is very easy. It's not hard. This is what makes Spanish a lot easier for a lot of people, is the fact that Spanish is pronounced a lot more easily than French is. The sounds are a lot more straightforward. They're not as weird. Pardon to all you other French speakers out there. I know I shouldn't say that, because French is a good language and it's beautiful, but I do understand about how some sounds can be weird to people who don't speak it normally. I've grown used to it, having spoken to more French-speaking people than I can count. Some of my best friends are French, so I know it. But French is still learnable. You just might not be able to slip into the accent as easily as if you were doing Spanish. And the thing about Spanish is, everything either ends with a vowel or a consonant that lets it float into the next word. Which means, a lot of the times, if you speak Spanish fast enough and quickly enough and accurately enough, it would sound like one word in a very long sentence. Or one sentence would sound like a very long word, however way you want to take it. Let me show you what Spanish sounds like when you read it correctly, and when a native speaker is speaking it. I will do my best to read with a Spanish accent. I do not count myself an expert in this. People have told me I sounded like a native. I haven't quite believed that yet. I have one of my... Spanish here. I am in grade 12 this year, but I took Spanish 11 in grade 10 and 11. This is from my beginning Spanish class in grade 10, and I still have these sheets, because it was a really good class, and I like this class, but... There's no Spanish 12, at least not this year, so we'll have to bear with it. Now, this is a script based off our foods unit. It was all about learning vocabulary for food, learning how to order stuff, description of food, things like that. So, we're going to get started, and I'm going to try and read a few lines, and then translate it as I go along. So, this script starts out with the narrator saying, "En México, la comida es muy deliciosa." This means, in Mexico, the food is really delicious. Very delicious. And then Cristian says, "Hay que comer algo, ¿no?" And then Julia says, "¿Qué vamos a comer?" Rosana says, "A mí me da un sándwich de jamón y queso, por favor." Julia says, "Y a mí un sándwich de pollo con papas, por favor." Luis says, "Yo nada más voy a querer postre. ¿Me puedes dar un pastel de chocolate, por favor?" And Christian says, "Pepe?" So, everybody's ordered food, except Pepe, and now he is going to order. And he says, "Yo quiero una sopa de zanahorias, por favor." He says, "Y a mí me da una ensalada, por favor." "De tomar, ¿qué quieren?" Now that they finished ordering what they want to eat, let's go through that. Cristian says, "Hay que comer algo, ¿no?" And he said, "We should eat something, eh?" And Julia says, "Yeah, okay, what are you going to eat?" Rosana says, "Give me a sandwich with ham and, give me a ham and cheese sandwich, please." Julia says, "And me, a sandwich, a chicken sandwich with potatoes, please." Luis says, "I don't have anything, but I want dessert. I don't want anything more. I want dessert. Could you give me a chocolate cake, please?" And Christian is going to ask Pepe what he wants. And Pepe is going to say, "I want a carrot soup, please." Christian says, "And for me, a salad. And to drink, what do you want? What do you guys want?" So, let's continue. Julia says, "Refresco." Rosana says, "Un jugo de..." What is that? "Un jugo de naranja, por favor." Luis says, "Un agua mineral, por favor." Cristian says, "Y yo una agua mineral, por favor." Pepe is going to say, "Yo una limonada, por favor." Cristian says, "Gracias." So, Cristian has just asked everybody what they wanted, and Julia says, "Refresco," which means, just a soda. Basic correcting, if I'm translating right here. And Rosana says, "An orange juice, please." Luis says, "Mineral water, please." Cristian says, "Mineral water, please." And Pepe says, "A lemonade, please." And Christian says, "Thank you." Now, these are all pretty simple sentences. I don't have very complicated ones here because this is from a beginning Spanish class. But now I'm going to go back and read it with... Now, first you have to understand that I was reading it more slowly and I was reading it with a generic Latin American accent with proper pronunciation. Now I'm going to go back and read it as I would read it if I was speaking. So, keep in mind the translations, if you need to go back and look at them before you go on and read this one, because I'm not going to finish it, or I'm not going to translate as I go, I'm just going to read through the whole conversation. I'm going to read from the beginning, where the narrator starts, all the way to right when Christian says thank you. So, here we go. En México, la comida es muy deliciosa. Hay que comer algo, ¿no? ¿Qué vamos a comer? A mí me da un sándwich de jamón y queso, por favor. Y a mí un sándwich de pollo con papas, por favor. Yo nada más voy a querer postre. ¿Me puede dar un pastel de chocolate, por favor? ¿Pepe? Yo quiero una sopa de zanahoria, por favor. Y a mí me da una ensalada, por favor. ¿Y de tomar qué quieren? Refresco. Un jugo de naranja, por favor. Un agua mineral, por favor. Y yo una... Yo una limonada, por favor. Gracias. So, having noticed that, you should have noticed that I took a lot of the S's out. I was speaking a lot faster. And a lot of my words slurred together. It's very fast. And actually, we'll go back and show you a movie called Motorcycle Diaries, which is a Spanish-only movie. And it is based off the Argentinian dialect of Spanish, which I find very complicated to understand. It's not easy. But this will give you a good impression of... a good impression of what native Spanish speakers, when speaking it, sound like.
Motorcycle diary window. 100.
Better than I could do it. What would be a good part to show you? Right here.
No será mucha cosa, Granado.
La suficiente, jefe. Norton 500. Esto es una moto. Mira si anda buena rueda su hijo. Está bien, cuidado. Quédese tranquilo.
Hijo.
Ya está.
Espera momentos difíciles. Pero la verdad es que yo siempre soñé con hacer algo así. Y te confieso que si tuviese unos años menos, me iría con vos.
Ya sé de cuenta que lo hago por los dos.
10 años planeando este viaje, tío.
Chiquito.
Oh.
Mientras tanto...
Bastante chiquito, pero ya de puber.
Confío en usted, ¿eh?
¿La revolución para cuándo, tío?
¿Acá? Dentro de un siglo.
So that's pretty much it. There's basically what Spanish sounds like. At its native best. French, now, we will look at. French is pretty much similar to Spanish in terms of grammar. There are some different things, but a lot of it is similar. The biggest thing for French lies in pronunciation, which is the thing that gives most people a headache when they try and learn French. In French, pronunciation isn't phonetical, which means that just because a word looks like it's supposed to be said a certain way doesn't mean it's going to be said a certain way. As an example, the word printemps, which means spring, printemps is completely different from the way you actually spell the word, which is P-R-I-N-T-E-M-P-S. Spanish is completely phonetical. Once you get down the pronunciation rules that they have, the few that are there, once you get those down, you will be able to pronounce or read something in Spanish and figure out how it's supposed to be pronounced, even though you might not know what it means. In French, it's a bit harder. You have to learn the rules, and then you have to learn when the rule applies and when it doesn't. Some people think Quebec French sounds... There's two main dialects, well, not two main dialects, but the two big ones, again, not counting the regional accents, but I don't know as much about that in French as I do in Spanish. The two big ones that people like to talk about are French, Parisian French, and Québécois French. Québécois French is a lot more... it's like Spanish in Latin America. It's a lot more slangy. It's a lot more slurred.
Size one.
One. It's rather more difficult to talk in to understand. And I'm not going to try and do that because I can't do that very well, and I don't have any recordings to show you. So I can't actually talk about French as much as I can talk about Spanish, because I know Spanish a lot better. But French is a good language to learn. It's very useful. It's a nice sounding language at its best times. Like Spanish. And we are almost at the end here, because there's not much I can really talk about in terms of French, aside from the pronunciation rules. It's little things like the fact that ENT is pronounced like en. EN is pronounced like en as well. It really doesn't matter, except when you use it to conjugate a verb. The third person plural forms all use ENT as their conjugation form after you do certain things with the infinitive and whatever. But the ENT isn't pronounced. As an example, the verb manger, which means to eat, is spelled M-A-N-G-E-R. And here is the step ER off to get the stem of the verb, which is M-A-N-G. And you would throw in M-A-N-G-E-N-T as the correct translation, or conjugation, sorry. Thus, it would come out as il mange or elle mange for they eat. But, like I said, the EN is silent. And I think the last thing I'm going to cover for now.
What?
In Spanish is this little thing called voseo. Now, voseo is not is not widely used. It is mostly in Latin America. It is in places like Argentina, Nicaragua, El Salvador, some parts of Colombia, places like that. Vos is an old word, literally meaning your mercy. It's kind of the equivalent to the English thou, thee, thine, that kind of thing. It's very old, it's archaic, but we've adapted it as a modern slang thing now. And the RAE, which is the Real Academia Española, the Royal Spanish Academy, hasn't put that in as an official pronoun. It's known as slang at the moment. Textbooks don't cover that, at least not in very great detail. So that's the one thing to look out for, is verb conjugations change slightly, not very much, but enough to be noticeable. So just be on the lookout. I think that's pretty much it for our second multi-language time cast. It's a fun time as always. Spanish is a good language to learn. I haven't found any complaints to say about it. It's been easy, it's been fun, and I definitely made a lot of good friends learning Spanish, and being able to talk in it is very fun. Going down to the Latin bakery, getting some food, chatting with the workers. French is good too. They both have their good things and their bad points. French has a lot of exceptions to the rules. Spanish just has a lot of words. It's still good. The pronunciation, like I said, in Spanish is easier. The big thing that to watch out for is probably the double R, which is the rolled R, such as in correr, perro. What other words can I? El burro. stuff like that. R, the word for the letter R. That's a probably a hard sound to master, but that's probably the only one that's really there. That's a challenge to try and figure out. Everything else is quite intuitive and easy. Vowels are all standard. Yeah, there isn't much I can say now. I can just wrap up and say that I hope this has been somewhat, hope it's not too dull for most of you. I enjoy doing these, and if people like it, I will update these more often. And like I said, if there are any native speakers of Spanish and French, email me with any comments that you think I should know or put into another podcast, and I will try and put it into another one. And my email address is chow.clement@gmail.com. And that's pretty much it for now. So I'm gonna be quiet now and just let the song play through and enjoy the Spanish music from Tanga, which is a group live from Canada. Thank you guys, and I will see you folks later.
Okay.